to be dismissed. Your kids can now be dismissed. And Carrie will, there's Carrie over by the door, and she'll take you to the children's classrooms. We have children's classrooms available for the tiniest of fellows, all the way up to fifth grade. And so the migration is happening as we speak. And so I want to, some days I get so excited that I miss some really important details. And so I've got a list of very important details that I've missed, and I've promised that I'm going to hit. So the first very great thing that we've recently come about is July 30th on a Saturday, we did a one-day VBS. That was fantastic. We had almost 20 kids come out. We had a giant slew of volunteers. And I have videos that I may or may not use for blackmail later of Kim Rhodes and Aaron dancing. Yep, she saw them. They're on Facebook, so it must be true. So what a great time and opportunity that we had. And we had quite a few families, two or three, I think, that actually don't come to Gateway. And so we were able to minister to them and their children. And what a great time of ministry. So a big thanks to everybody who helped out. And back there in the corner are still some remnants of our VBS celebration. We were talking about Moses, and we're in the wilderness. So what do you do when you're in the wilderness? You pitch a tent and you hang out for a while, right? So it was a good time. The second thing is, do you notice the cross behind me? That is fantastic. That is made by two very generous individuals in our church, and they have done a fantastic job. And we had this idea that there's no cross back there, and there should be a cross. And so a couple guys devised this really great plan. They said, hey, we're going to make a cross. And one day it showed up here, and it was laying, finishing up some paint, and it had totally blown me away. It exceeded my expectations, and what a beauty and addition it is. Amen? All right. And another thing is, so we partake in some different outreach programs, and one of which is there is a farmer's market in Benton. And so early Saturday morning, people come, and they buy their vegetables, and they hang out. And one thing that we've been able to do is we've been able to hand out water and free cookies. Now, you're probably thinking, yeah, I could handle some free water and some cookies. Amen. But we noticed first that people were hostile to a sign that said Gateway Church. They were a little confused. I don't know if they thought we were trying to sell them snake oil or anything. But we certainly weren't. We're trying to be gracious, and we're trying to be giving. And so we decided that, like Jesus, we'd not do a tent, but we'd move into the neighborhood. We'd be incarnational. And yesterday was actually pretty exciting. And we've got some good stories about people actually tracking us down to say, hey, are you with Gateway Church? Are you the people that are doing that thing? And we've heard some crazy stories about people in their life and been able to talk to them and minister to them. And so just a little thing like free water and free cookies can be an absolute blessing in the conversation. And there's actually people who run booths that wait for us every week because we give them water and free cookies. I don't know if it's the gift or I don't know if it's us being a blessing, but either way, we're doing a great ministry. And that's an example of great ministry that you can do at little to no cost. Amen? Cool. So today we're going to continue in the Psalms. We're going to continue in Psalm 122. We're talking about the Psalms of summer. And we're going to talk about the different ways of how we approach God. We're going to find ourselves in different times, coming to God in different ways. And the Bible informs a little bit of how we respond. And so last week, Doc did a fantastic job. That was a great sermon. And he reminded us that when it comes to approaching God, when it comes to approaching our relationship with Jesus, that there's a little coined phrase. We need to truly let go and let God. And what an act of surrender. That when we find ourselves before the Lord, everything belongs to Him. It was a moving chunk. It was a moving morning. And last week, we actually celebrated our last worship time with Dustin Bentley, who is getting ready to head to college, and he's a fantastic young man. And to not embarrass him, he wrote a very sweet letter to our congregation, and I will read that next week. So can we just give him a round of applause, and we'll, yeah. Oh, he bowed. Thank you, thank you. What a young, vibrant, intelligent young man, and he was. And this is one thing that amazed me. He was very eager to remind us that it's not about him. It's not about his skills or ability, but it's about God who is moving through him. And I was just completely blown away by that because there are grown middle-aged men who still don't get it. So what a true testament to what following God can look like at any stage of your life. So, Dustin, thank you so much for your labor of love here at Gateway. So I'm excited to, I'm going to use a phrase and then I'm going to talk about it. I'm excited to worship with you this morning. Worship is an interesting phrase. Many times I don't like to say that this is Sunday morning worship. I like to say that this is the Sunday morning gathering or this is the Sunday morning experience. And let me explain why. Because Sunday morning is not the limit of who we are as worshipers. It's true. We are worshipers as that is our identity in following Jesus. We are a worship. We're worshipers 365 days a year, 24/8. I'm trying to petition for a new week so we can worship again. Amen. And so it's not that we come to worship. It's that we're already worshiping as the Spirit of God lives in us. And let's just be real honest. There are different ways that we experience God. Some people like to get up like super early in the morning before God is awake. And they like to drink coffee. And they like to, you know, be alone and pray and read scripture. And we've all seen that one person who is jamming out behind the steering wheel in their car and thinking nobody else is watching them. Some people like to worship that way. Some people like to worship God in that form. And other people, when they come to church, they get that experience with God here. And so sometimes in the morning we say, hey, thank you for coming to worship with us. Or thank you for worshiping. But I want to change that a little bit because this isn't the only day that we worship. This is the day that we worship collectively. This is the day when we lift up the cause and the name and the person of Jesus Christ. And that is the result of our gathering. And so every day, because of the Spirit of God living in us, is an opportunity to worship. So say it with me. I am a worshiper. Wait. I am a worshiper. I do really bad in that, like, follow me talking thing. So you've confessed it. It's true. And so one of the different things that we find about worship in the Bible is that in the Old Testament, God is limited. He himself is limited to the dwelling of the temple. That is the place where God lives. That is, and now that's different because God lives inside of us as we've accepted this call to follow Jesus Christ. We've been baptized for the remission of our sins. And the Bible tells us in Acts 2:38 that we will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. And so, but in the Old Testament, people are limited to coming and meeting with God by going to the temple. And so they would make long journeys. Now, I've practiced this word a couple times and I'm having some problems. Pilgrimages. Some people make pilgrimages in the Old Testament. It's really difficult for me. You'd think it would just slide right off the tongue. Some people make pilgrimages in the Old Testament to meet with God. They would do this several times, multiple times throughout the year, and they would have feasts, and they would make sacrifices, and they'd hang out with their friends and their family, all as an attempt to worship God. Now, the idea of a pilgrimage, there we go, pilgrimage, is somewhat foreign to us. The only thing that we know of about a pilgrimage is maybe people who practice Islam, they go to Mecca once in their life, and that would be considered a pilgrimage. But we do pilgrimages every time. Actually, some of you just got back from you got back from a vacation. There you go. You went on a vacation. And a vacation is a pilgrimage. It's a long journey. It's a long journey to find time with God, to cease from working, and to find rest and relaxation. And we get excited about going on vacation. Going to the beach in Destin, Florida is a little more exciting than the hot, humid weather of central Arkansas. Yeah, if I got any input on where you're going to vacation, I would suggest Destin, Florida, because all I've seen is pictures of beach and food, so it must be a good place. And so when we make our pilgrimage, when we make our vacation, we're excited. It's something that we anticipate, something that we look forward to. Even our kids get excited about it because, you know, every kid has to do it at least once in their life from the back seat. Are we there yet? Are we there yet? And you say, don't make me stop this car. I'll turn around. That's exactly right. And so today we're going to jump into Psalm 122. And in Psalm 122, the people are on a pilgrimage. They're on a journey. They're on a journey to find and to worship God. And in doing so, they sing a song. And so this is called a song of ascents. And they use it as a song of joy. They use it as a reminder of the faithfulness of God. But many times, the psalms are not only songs, but they're also prayers. And this is a prayer for them. It's a prayer for peace. That the peace which only comes from God, may be the center of their time of worship. That when they gather, when they eat, when they make sacrifices, that the peace of God would be present. And so today I want us to see that in this psalm, that the only way that we're going to survive as followers of God is if everything that we do is centered around the Lord and the peace that only he provides. Now, you can do this alone, but there's a certain joy in celebrating the peace of God with other people. There is a certain joy in celebrating the peace of God with other people. That's one of the reasons why we're gathered here this morning. Let's pray and we'll enter into the text. Gracious and Heavenly Father, we thank you so much that we can come to your word. We can come to this a time of celebration, Lord, in your house and in your place, Lord, in your city, in your zip code, in your county, in your state. Lord, this is your time, your space, Lord, and we pray that you would do with it as you will. Lord, I pray for the Spirit of God that it would be moving, Lord, that it would convict us of our sins and lead us to a moment of discernment, that we can follow Jesus better every day of our life. Lord, I pray that you would pour through me the gift of preaching. Lord, that these are not my words, but Lord, your Spirit would do abundantly more than I could ever hope to do with them. Lord, we give this time over to you now. We pray for those who cannot be with us. Lord, I pray a blessing over every person who is here today. And we pray all these things in your holy and precious name. Amen. So if you would, if you got a Bible, you can jump to Psalm 122. If not, it'll be right up there. So Psalm 122. And so if I haven't made this super apparent yet, today we're going to talk about why you should go to church. And you've all done a pretty good job on being here. And so the title of the psalm is, Let Us Go to the House of the Lord. And it says it's a song of ascents. It's a song of David, or it was attributed to the writing of David. Whether or not David wrote it is not really important to us right now at the time. But it's a song that they sing. It's a song of celebration, a song of anticipation. And it begins with this line, I was glad when they said to me, let us go to the house of the Lord. And so David, or the writer of the psalm, begins this song with a time of celebration and a time of joy. I'm so excited to meet with God and to enjoy his presence. It's a moment of joyful anticipation. It's the thing that I've been looking for. I was excited. I was glad when they said to me, let us go to the house of the Lord. Now, the house of the Lord in the Old Testament is in Jerusalem. The temple was built in Jerusalem. This is the place, the dwelling place of God. Now, what he writes in verses 2 through 9 tells us the story of why they would go to worship God in Jerusalem. So it begins in verse 2. He says, our feet have been standing within your gates, O Jerusalem. Verse 3, Jerusalem built as a city that is bound firmly together, for to which the tribes go up, the tribes of the Lord, as was decreed for Israel, to give thanks to the name of the Lord. And so what we find beginning in verse 2, verse 3, and verse 4 are different reasons for why people go to the temple to celebrate with God. The first one is that our feet have been standing within your gates. They know that a piece of them belongs with God. They know that a piece of them belongs with worshiping God together. And one of the reasons that they do this is because they know that the temple brings people together. He says this in verse 4 because all of the tribes of Israel were decreed to go to worship God. I think it's Deuteronomy chapter 12, verse 5. It says, but you shall seek the place that the Lord your God will choose out of all of your tribes to put his name and make his habitation there. There you shall go. It says that God will make his habitation there. That is the place where he will be confined. That's where the place where people can come and find forgiveness of sins and righteousness. And there you shall go. And so what we have is about 12 different collections of families and followers of God all making long treks. Sometimes the weather was bad. Sometimes the weather was good. Sometimes your camel broke down. Other times you had to walk. Other times you needed to be carried part of your journey. But you still went because you anticipated the presence of God every time that you decided to go. A piece of me has belonged there the whole time. Our feet have been standing within your gates, O Jerusalem. It's as if we were there. It's as if the whole time that we were away, we were longing to be in your presence, O God. Verse 3, it says, it was built as a city that is bound firmly together. So whenever, it's like a family reunion. You may not like each other in the off seasons, but every time you get together to break bread and eat some fried chicken, you love each other. And you rejoice over the stories. You rejoice over stories of past, present, and future. And you get excited and you shake babies and you kiss hands. Other way around. And you get excited about being with one another. He says, it's built as a city that is bound firmly together. Because for followers of God, the temple was the meeting place. It was a meeting where everyone could come and congregate together. This is a good example of that. Each church, and there are a lot of churches, there's like 160 churches in this county. Each church is a reflection of what the body of Christ looks like. And each church is bound firmly together. And so as we have our own individual and independent beliefs, and as we ascribe to what the Bible teaches us, that's just one reason why we like to gather together. I will say that Gateway Church is like one of the friendliest places ever, aside from Disney World. It's like the happiest place in the world. And so one of the things that I like about what visitors get to experience is that we're friendly and we're exciting. And even though sometimes we mess up, we still find grace in the moment. We know that there's redemption from God. We know that there's a victory to be found in Jesus Christ. And we know, even though we're away, every time that we get together, it's a time of celebration. Now, some of you like to get together more than just on Sunday, and so we do life groups. And now one of the reasons why I love life groups is because I heard an individual say, as he was leaving someone's house, he said, thanks for doing life with me. Even though so many days out the week we're apart from each other, we've got our own jobs, we get our own families, but every time we're together, it's a time of celebration, a time to be remembered, a time to give glory to God. And some of us get together to have meals or play music together. And so as we grow in the Lord, we find more opportunities and more time to be together, time and time and time and time again. And that's a responsibility of the church. And early followers of Jesus, they would meet every day or every opportunity that they could. There's this old story about the history of the church. Andrew Murray and the Dutch Reformed Church, the church exploded overnight. There was this girl who asked if she could pray in a public assembly, and they said, yeah, we don't think that there's anything wrong with a... She was actually a slave girl. She asked to pray, and they said, yeah, we've talked about it. We think it's okay that you pray. And it said that she prayed in such moving tones that the Holy Spirit came, and it sounded like a train, and it took over the church, and every person in the church began to pray out loud. And it began to exhibit this gift of the Holy Spirit. And Andrew Murray was in the other room when this happened. And he comes back in and he starts screaming. He said, be quiet. He said, this is not of God. But it turned out it was a growth moment for the church. Because at 3 o'clock in the morning one night, they all met outside. And they said, who planned this? I said, nobody. And so what did they do? They began to pray right there in the middle of the night until the morning came. And so because they were being obedient and followers of Jesus, and they surrendered their lives to the leading of the Lord and the leading of the Holy Spirit, they found more and more opportunities to get together. And it was exponentially, the church exploded overnight. And that'll happen, I believe, as we surrender our lives to what God wants to do with us. Because as we said earlier, it doesn't belong to you. If that were the case, I'd be like 6'4", incredibly good looking. 5'8", on a good day. So it says in verse 4, to which the tribes go up, the tribes of the Lord, as was decreed for Israel. This is a thing of tradition. This is the thing of the past. Now, one thing that sometimes we miss in doing church together is we miss the sake of tradition. But one aspect, several aspects of tradition that we upkeep with every week is communion. Followers of Jesus Christ have obediently obeyed this aspect of tradition because we believe in the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. We believe in proclaiming the Lord's death until he comes again. Another thing, an ancient thing, would be baptism, that we participate in the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And so this is a thing of long-standing tradition. And they do this because God decreed it. And I love what the end of verse 4 says. As was decreed for Israel, to give thanks to the name of the Lord. What is the initial purpose of all of these people gathering under the Lord's house? It's to give thanks to God. Now, I saw something on Facebook the other day. This woman had posted. She said, "The world doesn't need more churches; it just needs more Christians." And I thought, what an interesting statement. And I didn't respond. I just let the fight ensue in her comments. And so I would return every hour or so and read the new comments. And the comments were you know, the church is the body of Christ and we are who we are, scattered. And people said, no. The world needs more churches that believe in Jesus and exalt the name of Jesus. And I was still a little confused. We are who we are as God designed to be. We are best when we are together. There's power in numbers. And one of the first things that we do is we come bring our adoration, we come bring our thanksgiving, we give thanks to the Lord for all the things that he has done. Now, there's an old acronym for how to pray. It's adoration, confession, thanksgiving, supplication. One of the things that we do is, God, O gracious Heavenly Father, we recognize the power and the majesty and the mystery of God. We say, God, I know I'm a sinner, but thanks for cleaning me up. We confess our sins before God, and we give thanksgiving for all the things that we have in our life. God, thank you so much for my healthy son, for my healthy wife, for the material provisions. God, thank you for going ahead, beyond, and above anything that I could ever hope. God, thank you for matching your grace with my faith. And then, supplication. God, thanks for Cam. God, thanks for Kim. God, thanks for Dustin and Ashley. God, thanks for this building that you've allowed us to congregate here together. But one of the primary reasons that followers of God would congregate together was to give thanks to the Lord. Now, the cool thing about that is if everyone gathers to give thanks to the Lord, I get to hear different stories of why you're thanking God. Because God has been good in the health of your children. God has been good in the realm of your finances. Because God has been good because you finally defeated that internal struggle that you've been fighting in your head for years and years and years and years. And together, we get to say that God is good. We get to lift up praise and prayers to God. Now, if you just got to celebrate by yourself in the quietness of your early morning coffee session, it's not very exciting. But when I get to hear about stories that God is doing within you, I get to rejoice. And I get to remember that God is on the move. God is doing new and exciting and abundant things. And God is still alive and he's still moving and he still wants to do things in us and through us. Verse 5, it says, their thrones for judgment were set, the thrones of the house of David. Now, one reason why they like to go to the city, to Jerusalem, to go to the temple, one of the reasons in particular is because the king was there. That was an attraction factor. That's the same exact reason why people go to Buckingham Palace in London is to see the queen, and why people make their own pilgrimages to Washington, D.C. to stand a really long distance away from the White House. They come because someone important is there. And so people would make their trek and their progress to go see the king. Now, sometimes the king did something really exciting. The king would sit under this big canopy outside the gates of the city, and he would handle legal matters. He would decide whether or not it was okay to cut a baby in half, the story of Solomon. He would decide who could come into the city, whether they were pending an investigation for a criminal activity or who could not come in. But one of the reasons they were excited is to even walk by the king, be near the king. Now, what a great picture of us for the future of coming to church. We call this the Lord's house. We say all the things belong to the Lord. When we take communion, we call it the Lord's table. It's not ours, but it belongs to the Lord. It's not our sacrifice, but it belongs to Jesus Christ. We come to the city to rejoice. We come to church to rejoice because the king is present. Where two or more are gathered in his name, there he is also. We come because Jesus is there. I remember one time there was this little boy. He's so cute. Little redheaded little boy, and he was about 3 years old, and his aunt was taking him to church, and he said, I don't want to go to church. She said, yeah, you want to go to church. And he said, well, is Jesus going to be there? She said, yeah, Jesus is going to be there. Sure enough, he got excited, and he went to church that night. We get excited because this is where the king is. Now, there's a long story about the kingship of Jesus, and it starts with the story of a king. A king is out doing battle, and he's got to clean up the bad guys and the bad mess in the world, and the city waits in anticipation. The king is coming back. The king is coming back to take over his rightful throne. God is going to come back and make all things right within us. And so what do the people do when they see the king coming? Do they close the windows and close the doors and hide in sheer fear of the king? No. They go out and they celebrate, and they say, the king, you're here. You're going to make all things right. You've brought peace and prosperity into the world. You've saved us from the terrible and the bad things. part of our journey of coming to church is because this is the very place, the very reality in which Christ is king in a world that needs a king. This is a place of peace. This is a place of prosperity in a world of confusion and chaos. Verse 6, he says, pray for the peace of Jerusalem. May they be secure who love you. Peace be within your walls and security within your towers. For my brothers and companions' sake, I will say peace be within you. It's a journey. They're walking a long way to make it to church. And what do they pray for? They pray for the peace of God. They pray for the rule and the power and the reign of God over all creation. They pray for shalom, or the well-being of the people who are going to be there. They pray for the peace and prosperity of the city of Jerusalem, because if the city of Jerusalem falls and the temple is destroyed, where is God and where is God to be found? They say, this church, this building, this place has to exist because people I love gather there. Because I believe in the mission. I believe in the ministry. I believe in what God is doing there. He also says, for my brothers and companions' sake, I say, peace be within you. We're all on a long journey and a long pilgrimage to experience God. You ever going to have a dry season? Where you're thinking, God, if you don't answer a prayer, I don't know if I'm going to make it. God, if you don't give me a sign, I don't know if I'm going to make it. I don't know what to do next. God, I need you to intervene. I need you to show me something. What the writer of the psalm is doing is, Lord, keep your people. Keep them within your promise. Keep them within your hope. Let them be, sometimes the journey is hard to experiencing God. Sometimes illness pops up. Sometimes terrible financial situations. Sometimes there's infidelity in marriages. But he prays for peace. I love Philippians 4:7, the peace of God that transcends all understanding. I've got a great example of that in my own life that I've seen firsthand. The type of peace that only comes from God, that there's no other explanation. He's saying, God, enter into them a peace that is unexplainable. Enter them into a joy that cannot be trumped by anything else. God, enter in them to a spirit of grace and excitement and joy that nothing could put it out. I will say, peace be within you. He says in verse 9, to round it out, for the sake of the house of the Lord our God, I will seek your good. What an odd statement. But I would answer it this way. If we are to survive, we absolutely must lift up Jesus Christ. For the sake of this church, for the sake of believers everywhere, the mission stops when we stop worshiping Jesus. The mission stops when we stop sharing the good news. The mission stops when we stop telling people about what God is doing in us. You ever been to a football game? When your team scores, what do you do to the guy next to you? You high five. You end up slapping each other across the face. You chest bump. You yell weird things. You stand in front of the TV a dangerously close inch. You get excited. And what do? You share it with the person who's next to you. That's that same joy and anticipation and excitement that we should also share with what God is doing within us. Wouldn't that be fun? Wouldn't that be every time we gathered together, we knew what God was doing. We knew what God has done. And we get to rejoice and we get to celebrate. Hey, hear about this victory that God has done in my life. Hear about that sin that I've finally been freed from. Hear about that word of encouragement that came in the most unlikely of places. And you get a smile and look at the other person and say, man, isn't God good? And then they'll probably say something like, all the time. And you'll say, all the time, God is good. Because that's the Christian thing to do. Every day and every opportunity is a chance to worship God. But there is something special. There's something intimate. There's something sacred about worshiping God with others, is when we come together. I love this saying that at the foot of the cross, the ground is equally level. Me and you, you and the person sitting next to you, you and your long-lost estranged family member that you wish would talk to you, at the foot of the cross, you find equality. You find the grace and mercy and forgiveness and hope that is found in Christ and Christ alone. When we come together, it's a mass of believers lifting up the cause, the sake, and the person of Jesus Christ. We shine a light into the world. One of the great things that we've done is we did our Serve Sunday. We did hard work. What we're able to do is we shined a light in some mess. We shined a light where people would drive by and not notice anything. Now we've left the footprint for the name and cause and sake of Jesus Christ. It means that we celebrate the victory of Christ through communion. That Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Now some of us, when we take the bread and the wine, it's kind of a somber celebration. We're reminded of our sin. But the turning point in that celebration is that you are sinful no longer. God has cleansed you of your sin. He has brought you into a new life and a new person in a new way. I find it really interesting that the earliest followers of God in Psalm 122, they knew this. They knew that this song, this journey of finding and experiencing God, it was something to be celebrated. It's a preparation for that activity. I'm going to pray for peace. I'm going to pray that on the way to church, on the way to finding God, that everything is going to be as it should be and so much more. I'm going to celebrate and lift up in prayer the times that I can rejoice with others, that I can pray for the cause and needs of other people. But what I find myself in looking at this psalm this week is asking myself the question, do I do this? Now, I pictured this, and maybe some of you have experienced this, maybe some of you could picture this with me, that you can't get to church fast enough. Like, there's that one person who pulled out in front of you even though there was no traffic behind you, and they could have easily have waited. And you're banging your head on the steering wheel, and you're thinking, I just can't get to church fast enough. I can't go find the people that I love at the place that I should be quick enough. Or your child has misplaced like that one shoe and it can't be found anywhere in the house. And you threaten them with their life if you don't find that shoe. I think we should regard our worship collectively, together, in the Lord's house with the Lord's people as the highlight of the week. And we should look forward to it with each passing day. What a beautiful place to be. In a world that needs hope, in a world that needs love, mercy, grace, and forgiveness, it's all right here. We celebrate it because of Jesus Christ. The church is the hope of the world. And without the church, without us together right now, we would not be who we are designed to be. We'd be less. You could be one person, but the church does amazing things when they band together. Hey, Tanya, I've got a short little video that you'll pull up. The message of the church got hijacked by a hotel. To embrace a stranger as one of our own, it's in our nature. What a great little piece of chunk of scripture. But the church cannot adequately meet that message if we don't come together. If we don't pool our resources together. If we don't celebrate the good news of Christ in our own life. And if we don't lift up the fact that Jesus needs to be in everything, we missed that mission. Anybody have a piece of paper with them today? A bulletin that they brought with us? If you got a pen, if you got a phone, this is what I want you to do. I believe that the church is the hope of the world. I believe that the church is a sacred place in which we find victory, we find healing, and we find redemption through the Son. I want you to take your phone. I want you to take a piece of paper if you got one, if you got a bulletin. And I want you to do this. I want you to write down the name of five people who need to be here. And I want you to start with this. I want you to start praying with them. I want you to pray about these people in your life group. I want you to pray about them at home. I want you to hit them up on Facebook and say, hey, we missed you at church this morning. I want you to give them a phone call, shoot them a text message, say, hey, we just thought about you today at church. And do this throughout the week. Five different people in your life. Maybe they're not in a good relationship. Maybe you're in a great relationship with them. Maybe they couldn't come and be with you this morning. But we want to be the best body that we can be. If I've only got one leg and one arm, the body's not functioning at its fullest capacity. But when the body is together, and the body is centered on Jesus Christ, the body is healthy, the body is functioning, the body is doing the things that it should be doing. So I want you to think of those five people. I want you to write them down. And I want you to extend to them an invitation, an opportunity to experience God with other people, an opportunity for grace, mercy, and forgiveness. I think they should be here. Let's pray. Gracious and Heavenly Father, we thank you for this opportunity that you've given us. Lord, as your people in your house, celebrating the good gift that you've given us in your Son, our Lord and Savior, Christ Jesus. Lord, you're the author, the creator, the sustainer, the ruler of our faith, of all things. Lord, you are by which all things have been spoken into creation. God, you've been so good. You've given us the greatest gift of all in your Son. Lord, this is the place that we worship him. Lord, this is the place that we're encouraged, we're sent out to be missionaries and evangelists and disciple makers. Lord, we're to be encouraged. Lord, we're to be repaired by your mercy, grace, and forgiveness. Lord, that you've healed us of our sins. Lord, daily we needed to be reminded of that. Lord, let this be a place that others find hope, refuge, and encouragement for the future. Lord, let this be a place that we encourage and we invite other people to come and to join us. God, we give this space, we give these people, we give our time to you. God, the body is a beautiful thing. God, the body's much more beautiful when it's together. Lord, we thank you for all of these people here today. Lord, I pray that the Spirit of God is working in them and through them. Lord, if there's anything troubling, if there's anything worrying in their lives, Lord, I pray that you point them to Jesus. You point them to the work on the cross. Lord, that they find resolve there. Lord, we thank you, we love you, and we pray and ask all these things in your holy and precious name. Amen. I've just got a couple of announcements this morning.